You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, the first week of this year, we talked about our vision for 2020. We talked about how God in Genesis chapter 1 had to first create a place for what he desired to happen. And then he set that up for life to work like that. We've been talking about you got to create a place for what you desire to have. You can't be yelling and hollering and screaming and want peace in your home. If you want peace in your home, then you have to create a place for peace to be. If you want a great marriage, then you got to create a place for that to happen in your home. If you want money, then you have to create a place for that to take place in your home. We're talking about this whole year, creating a place. That's been our theme. That's our vision for this year. Creating a place for what we desire to happen to really happen. Well, little did we know that April 26th, I would be outside on a trailer. You'd be sitting in your cars, and we would be creating a place for a pandemic to pass our nation. That's exactly what we're doing. We're creating a place for this pandemic to pass, and our focus on 2020 has been to create a place for what we desire to happen, and that's what we're doing to the best of our ability. We're creating a place for this pandemic to pass. That's what we're doing here today, and we continue that as our theme this year. In your home, in your life, create a place for what you desire to happen. We read a very interesting event in Judges chapter 7. Gideon was leading the Lord's army, and they were up against the armies of Midian. Gideon's army was 32,000, yet he was vastly outnumbered by the Midianites. So then in verse 2, the Lord tells Gideon he has way too many warriors. Now he's already outnumbered, and God says, you got too many warriors. So Gideon tells them, whoever's afraid, y'all go on home. 22,000 left and went home. Now we're down to 10,000. The Lord says, oh, still too many. Tells Gideon, take them down to a creek to get a drink. Those who look up and dip water with their hands, keep those. Those who lap water up like a dog, send them home. We were outnumbered at 32,000, and now we're down to 300. That's all that we got left to go into battle. The title of today's message is, God is a God of impossible odds and impossible numbers. God's a God. He's always been a God. A God that handles impossible situations, and when the numbers aren't there, when the numbers are against them, God shows himself strong. As we read the Bible, you become aware that God apparently likes being outnumbered. He likes when the numbers are not in our favor. Today I remember a story when the kids were all enslaved in Egypt. There's just no way out. The odds were against them. I remember all the miracles that God did through Moses, and they left free. Pharaoh comes after them, traps them against the sea. Pharaoh's army is in full attack mode. Well, the numbers are not with them. The numbers that they're posting up on their TV screens don't look good. Impossible odds. But as God always does, he kind of likes those numbers being against him. You know the story. We read Deuteronomy over and over again. God says, never forget. We had all of these millions of people out here that were hungry. The numbers were against us having supper tonight, and here comes manna. The numbers are against us. There are no water holes out here. Here comes God bringing water out of a rock. You remember the times in your own life when you're facing impossible odds, and we all have many different times in our life, and God has seen each one of us through time and time again in our life. My message today, often when we face impossible odds, that's not the time to quit. That's not the time to run. And it's never the time to panic. You follow God. Keep your eyes on God when your back is against the sea and the army's caving in on you, when the numbers are not in your favor, keep your eyes on God, because that's when God performs a miracle. Back to Judges chapter 7, Gideon now down to 300. He circles the camp of the hordes of Midianites. And at midnight, they blow their ram's horn. The 300 stood and watched the Midianites jump and in confusion and panic fought and killed each other. Those that didn't kill each other ran in fear. God is a God of impossible odds. I like another event in 2 Kings chapter 6. There was a group of prophets down the Jordan River cutting logs to build a place to meet. One of the guys had borrowed an axe, and the axe head came off and it fell in the water. Now, I'm just telling you right now, odds against ever finding that axe head are long gone. Elisha cuts a stick and he throws it in the water where the axe head fell, and the axe head floated. I don't know if you know this, but the odds are way against axe heads floating in water. I especially like this story. I love to read this story. And the reason I love to read this story is this is not even a life or death matter. It's an axe head. It's an axe head that he borrowed from his friend. It wasn't even his axe head. I want you to know today, God cares about the little things in your life. God cares about even the little things in your life. How insignificant and unimportant is an axe head? Get another one, for crying out loud. But God cares about the little things in our life. We tend to rank miracles on the degree of difficulty that they are to perform. We have big requests, we have little requests, and we measure those miracles in degrees of difficulty. For the finite mind, there are levels and there are degrees of difficulty for us to pull something off. But I want you to know, for an infinite God, there are no degrees of difficulty. This is not easy for God, and this is really hard over here. Whoa, boy, now I don't know about that request. Boy, that's pushing me to the limit. For an infinite God, there are no degrees of difficulty. Facing a pandemic that covers the world is no degree of difficulty for God. You got to understand, we serve an infinite, all-powerful God. The axe head that floats, the slaves in Egypt, Gideon's army of 300, and this coronavirus. God doesn't see a degree of difficulty that's almost, maybe, possibly too big for even God to handle. All the numbers that they daily post on the news, all the testing that we're doing, all the antibodies that doctors are working hard to find. What if just extremely hot weather comes and this virus kills itself? We got to allow God. We've got to allow God to see us through. God is, God has, and God has always been a God of impossible odds. As you watch TV daily, as you hear the daily reports, make sure that you are doing so knowing that the God we serve is a God of impossible odds. And the degree of difficulty, by those numbers that rise or those numbers that fall, God's not waiting on the numbers to get low enough for Him to come in and do a miracle. God doesn't need, well, we got to get these numbers down. Let me tell you, we serve a God. We serve a God that doesn't have degrees of difficulty. What were the odds of Jesus feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Any way you slice the bread and the fish, you come up about 4,993 meals short of feeding everybody. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5 plus 2 equals 7. It does not equal 5,000. 5 plus 2 to you and I equals 7. It does not equal 5,000 meals. With God, 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. With a remainder of 12 baskets left over. As we read and watch these numbers that they daily put up, numbers are daily on our screen. We're adding numbers, we're subtracting numbers, we're adding numbers, we're subtracting numbers. I just want you to know, 5 plus 2 does not equal the same thing with us as it does with God. It's not how many Moabites that you're facing. It's not how deep the water is. Well, how deep was the water where the axe head fell in? Life is all about how big do you allow God to be for you? How big in your life do you allow God to be for you? Remember in creation, God gave dominion on earth to man. And we read in Matthew 16 and we read it again in Matthew 18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God needs a man on earth to allow him to show himself strong on earth. And that's how he gets glory. Through us. We here in this parking lot, we are the vessel that God is going to show himself through in our community for him to get glory. And today we say, God, show yourself strong in America. God, we ask you to show yourself strong in America. Right now, all over this parking lot, in your cars, everybody bowing your heads right now. God, we loose you in America. Your word says whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And God, we bind this coronavirus. We loose your spirit on this earth. We loose your spirit in America. And we bind a deadly virus from this nation. We bind a deadly virus from this world. And God, you show yourself glorified in all that we do. The two primary tactics of Satan. The Bible tells us your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. The two primary tactics of the devil are always discouragement and fear. The news is continuing to do a great job at whipping fear in our hearts. They're doing a great job of that. And the longer this thing goes on, then discouragement begins to take place. And you got to watch out in your own life for discouragement and fear. Watch out for fear and discouragement. Do not let discouragement over now all of these days, over all of these weeks, don't you let discouragement come in and get in your heart. King Nebuchadnezzar, nobody was bowing down to his idol and made him all mad that there were three that didn't bow down when all the others did bow down. He just passed this rule. Everybody's going to bow down. Now I'm going to have everybody bowing down. If you don't, you're going to be thrown into this fire. The fire was so hot, you all read the story. The fire was so hot that the soldiers that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that furnace died. You know, being thrown into a furnace is impossible odds. And for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out unharmed, and the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. And in fact, they were then promoted to leadership in the kingdom. God wants to promote you. God wants to advance you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to bless you. God's in the resume building business. And life is full of things that you did not really want. Life is full of things that you didn't choose for this to happen. But we go through them, and it sure looks good on our resume when we come out of them. When you come through impossible odds, it sure looks good on your resume, and it sure builds you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came through impossible odds, and my goodness, no one would ever be chosen to be thrown into the fire. Nobody would choose that. Nobody wanted that. In fact, we were praying against that ever happening to us. The fire was so hot it killed the soldiers that threw them in there. But God's kids come out of it. And because of that, they were promoted, advanced, and prosper. This is the way God works. We're all in a fire right now. We all feel like we've been thrown into this fire, and it wasn't even our choice. This was something that was inflicted on us. Watch out. Watch out, because we're coming out of this thing. We are coming out of this fire, and we'll be coming out of this fire not even smelling like smoke. That's what God's kids do. That's not what we wanted. That's not what we wanted to happen. We disagree with every bit of this, but we're going to come out of this and we won't even smell like smoke when this is over. You know, I was thinking about this. It's very interesting. People by the droves go to theme parks, and they pay a lot of money to get into those theme parks. What draws people to a theme park? What is the number one draw to a theme? What do theme parks advertise to be a draw for people to come to it? You know, there are a few that go there and ride the merry-go-round, but that's not what's advertised, and people don't pay a lot of money to ride the merry-go-round. What they put on their advertisement, what they put on their billboards, and the reason people go to theme parks is the 100-foot-tall roller coaster with an 89-degree drop, and at the bottom of it, a 90-degree turn at breakneck speed. Why do we do that? Why do we pay money to do that? You know, people pay to have someone scare their stomach into their throat. And when they get off of the roller coaster, watch them. They run full speed to get back in the line and do it again. They were screaming so loud as their stomach got up into their throat, it was the scariest point of their life, and they get off and run to get back in line to do it again. You know, it's like people need a dose of fear. We pay for somebody to scare us. There are people that pay money to jump out of an airplane just to hope that the parachute opens. Now, explain that. We just stay in this airplane. It's running fine right here. But we're going to jump out of an airplane and just hope that this parachute opens. The fact is, we get a thrill out of surviving danger. As I thought about it, you know, the church has turned into a place where people seek shelter. When I read in the Bible that the church is called to storm the gates of hell. And in difficult times, it's not a time to run and hunker down, but it's a time in the realm of the Spirit to storm the gates of hell. God prepares us. God prepares us in our life for a battle. He prepares us to fight. He prepares us to win. He builds faith. He builds strength as a result of what we have gone through in our past. And the more we go through, the stronger we are, the tougher we are, the more resilient we are. God prepares us for a life of battle. We're not prepared to sit in a recliner and experience a life of ease. Whatever we're going through today prepares us for tomorrow. And the more the impossible odds are, the bigger our faith and the stronger we come out of that. Watch out. Because we're coming out of this fire and we're going to be stronger, closer to God, and deeper in our faith than we were when we went into this. A familiar story we talk about often is in 2 Samuel 17. Long before the king of Israel, David, was crowned king and ruled Israel, he was a shepherd boy. And while his brothers were out on the front line fighting the Philistines, David was stuck on the sidelines tending sheep. David felt like he had been turned out to pasture and forgotten. But out there in that pasture, God was honing his skills and preparing him for battle that would take him to the kingship. Right before David's historic battle with Goliath, David began to connect the dots between his past crisis and his current opportunities. And I want to connect the dots for us today, sitting in our cars, in the middle of this pandemic. Why me? Why us? Why are we going through this? I'm having a hard time answering why we're in this. I'm having a hard time understanding why God put us through this. David was in the same situation. And when Paul says, you can't fight this giant, David relives the crises that he had gone through and that he had made it to the other side. And in that moment of confrontation, he calls up the story of a lion, and he calls up a story of a bear. I want to remind us today, in the middle of the crisis that we're in right now, God did not spare David from the lion attacking his business. God did not spare David from the bear attacking his physical health. That's what they did. They came and attacked his business. Those sheep were finances. That was his business. David's business was attacked. And when he went after his business, they turned around and came after him to attack his physical well-being. The same thing that's happened to us is happening to David back many years ago. I'm just letting you know, we've been attacked in our finances, and we've been being attacked in our health. But just reading between the lines here, David was a godly boy. It would stand to reason that David prayed for safety, that he prayed for God's blessings on his life. Here comes a lion to attack him financially, attack him physically. Here comes a bear to attack him financially, to attack him physically. You'd just assume that David would ask the same questions we all ask. God, where were you when the lion came? God, I prayed for finances and look, a lion came. Where were you, God, when this bear attacked my family and my health? God, I thought you were a good God. I thought you were good all the time. Well, where were you when this lion attacked? Where were you when this bear attacked me? Church, God is in the resume building business in our life. And He does so with impossible odds that prepare us for the next step in our life. And what's interesting is David, after the event, looking back on the lion and the bear, he saw them as nothing but target practice. He saw them as a preseason game. That's the way he looked at the lion and the bear. And I'm telling you today, this coronavirus can take you out. It can wipe you out financially. This coronavirus can wipe us out physically. Or it can become target practice for us. And it'll be the thing that builds our faith and builds our strength. And we come out of this ready for the next giant in our life. It's not always our past problems that prepare us for future opportunities that come our way. Without the lion, without the bear, as scary as that was, as life-threatening as that was, David would have hunkered down in that bunker just like all of the other Israelite army. I want you to see this. I want you to see this today. It was not the good things in David's life. It was not the fun times of David's life. It was not the parties and the picnics in David's life. It was not the time all of his friends came over and they played in the creek. It was the times of crisis that David recalls when Saul says, "You can't fight this giant." Those are the times God empowers us. Those are the times that God infuses us with a new level of faith. It's times of impossible odds. 5 years from now, you'll be facing something in your life, and each one of us will say, "I remember surviving the coronavirus. This will be nothing compared to that." That's where David was. "Oh, this won't be anything." 5 years from now, we'll say, "This ain't nothing. I survived the coronavirus." This time is a time to build faith. It's a time to build strength in our homes and our families. I don't want to be long here. Let me read quickly. In his letters to Malcolm, C.S. Lewis said, and I read from C.S. Lewis, "If God had granted all the silly prayers that I prayed all my life, where would I be right now? Someday we'll be more grateful for our prayers that didn't get answered than the ones that did. We pray for comfort instead of character. We pray for ease instead of strength. We pray for no pain when the result of that would have been no gain. if God answered these prayers, it would rob us of opportunities that winning over impossible odds brings to our life. Our problem is not with circumstances or situation. Our problem lays in our perspective of them. Church, how are you explaining this event to yourself? We're all going through this. We're all in a difficult time. How are you explaining this to yourself? Because how you are explaining this event to yourself determines how helpless you become or how empowered you become. We all remember a story of Joseph. His brother sold him into the slave traders. Now in the back of that slave wagon, explain that to yourself. Why, God? Why'd you let this? God, where were you? How did this? Try to line that up with your theology. Explain that to yourself. Joseph gets there. He rises to a position of leadership. Potiphar's wife lies about him and he's in jail. Sitting in that jail, explain that to yourself. How do you explain what's happening to yourself? Joseph, in a dungeon. You got to explain this to yourself. Where is God? Why me? I don't even know if I believe in God. If God was a good God, He would have never let this happen to me. I used to believe in God, but after what I've been through, I don't even believe in God anymore. We have a glimpse into how Joseph explained this to himself. Here's how Joseph explained this to himself. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he tells his brothers, "You did, in fact, intend this for my harm, but God intended it for my good, to accomplish what He is now accomplishing, saving many lives." Wow. Just some things today I came across this last week. I want all of you to listen very carefully. Here are some numbers that you won't hear on the news. You'll not hear this in the news this week, but I want to read this to you. Recent polls showed 40% of America now views this current situation as a wake-up call from God. You'll not hear this. 22% of non-religious people have now begun to read the Bible. You'll not read this. Bible sales increasing up to 44% in some regions. Today we all may feel like Joseph did. We may all feel like we've been lied to. We've been lied to about the severity of this virus. We may feel like these numbers are not adding up to the cost that it's cost in America. We all may feel like we've been thrown into a lockdown wrongly. But Joseph explains this to himself. He explains this to himself by saying, this was intended to harm us, but God will take what was meant for our destruction and we'll put this in His hands and some way, somehow, we'll come out of this thing and we'll save the lives of many, many people. Today, as we look at these numbers, as we listen to our governor and our president, I want you to do so knowing that God takes what was meant for our destruction and He works it together for our good. I want you to listen to all the numbers you listen to. I want you to listen to all the reports you listen to, knowing that our God is a God of impossible odds. And He doesn't add numbers like we add numbers. He never has, and He never will. Let's pray. Father God, today, in accordance to Your Word, we as a church, we as people, bind this coronavirus from our homes, our families. We bind this from our community. We bind this coronavirus from our nation. We bind this thing from the face of the world, God. And according to Your Word, we loose You, Holy Spirit. We loose Your Spirit on this earth. God, take what was meant to wipe us out. Take what was meant for our destruction. God, if this was meant to change our form of government, if this was meant to ruin our freedoms, if this was meant to give government more control of our life, God, you take this, turn it around and bring us glory, bring you glory, bring you honor, and bring blessings to the face of your people. God, infuse your people with the peace that passes all understanding. God, today, at this point, we don't know why. God, at this point, we can't explain the why to these numbers. God, at this point, we're left wondering if even this was the right thing to do. God, we're left wondering, is this the wrong direction for America to take? But we're not left wondering about your power and your strength. Today, we're not left wondering about the fact that you can take even what was meant for our harm, and God, you can turn it for our good. We loose the power of your Spirit on this earth, and we pray for our nation. In you, America, trust. God, in you, we as Americans trust. We are one nation. Out of all the nations on this earth, we are one nation that's under you. Direct us and guide us, and you lead us through this pandemic. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.